Good morning, and welcome to Saratoga Broadcasting's handicapping show up here at Saratoga Race Course with our special guest, Billy Blake, and the host of our show, Racing with Ski, Tony Podlaski. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Rick. Rick Thompson, our producer. Billy Blake is on the line. He'll be joining us shortly here. Welcome to Day 23, and it is a rainy day 23. Rain finally has reached Saratoga Springs. I'm going to probably say that the track is probably going to be off, as well as the turf going to be really soft, at least for the steeplechase racing this morning. I have to stay tuned for changes if the races do come off the turf. We'll talk about some of the races here today with the Troy being on the grass and Vitz stays on. We'll handicap that for the grass as well as for the off track, but also to do a recap of this weekend's racing with the four-star Dave and the two-year-old races that pretty much be setting up maybe a fall campaign for a couple of these horses here. But on the line right now is Billy Blake. Are you there this morning?
Hey Tony, how's it going?
How you doing? Are you surviving the rain down there right now?
I am. It rained a little bit overnight in Albany, and it's not raining now, but it is cloudy, and but it doesn't look good, though, for the rest of the day. Lots of rain, no matter where you are, it seems like, in New York today.
Yeah, before we went on air, Suffolk County got 5 inches of rain within a short time span, and what I saw some of the pictures this morning, not far from Belmont Park, obviously, it's probably about, Suffolk County is probably about another 30 miles east of that area, but I know a couple of people down there, and definitely there's no place for the water to drain. But for today, as I said, it looks like we got some rain, and definitely looking at the forecast, as Rick and I were talking about before we went on the air, that probably about 90 to 100% chance of rain or thunderstorms here. Pretty much going to set up a wet card here today, but we'll talk to you about that in a minute. But looking at the weekend, four-star Dave, Seek Again, basically just laid off the pace and came through with Joe Rosario, won by a neck over Grand March. Silver Max, a favorite, was there and then just tired to finish last. What did you think of the race?
Yeah, I thought this race set up nicely for both Seek Again and Jack Milton in here, because Silver Max, who I thought was an overbet favorite, was going to be on the lead. And Sayad from the five post, I thought was going to pressure him. And Sayad did go out to the lead a little bit, but it wasn't like they were going super fast in the early going. Silver Max was able to get a lead, an uncontested lead, very similar to what Marino was able to do in the Whitney. And down the backside, that was kind of concerning to me, that Silver Max was loose on the lead like he was, but he just could not hang in there. And I think we saw the performance of the meet ski with Seek Again. That was quite impressive for Joao Rosario to find running room down on the rail like that. He had so much horse underneath him, just could not find some running room, and then finally found a little seam, the tiniest of seams on the rail, and broke through. And oh, by the way, it was a track record too. So just imagine if this horse had a better trip, this horse could have gotten to the wire maybe a full half second or a half second or a full second sooner than when Seek Again actually got to the wire. It was some impressive ride by Joao Rosario. Silver Max just simply couldn't get the distance. And Grand Arch, who ran second here, I think has validated his performance outside of New York State, because going into the race, he seemed like he, even though he was running well and never finished off the board in his entire career, it seemed like he was a cut below these horses, but he proved he belonged. He proved he belonged to this kind of group of the four-star Dave. But it was all about Seek Again, getting through the rail and setting a track record.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned about Silver Max and getting the lead itself. The 23 was and one for the first quarter was pretty soft, but as I was looking at the race a little more closely, he did pick up the pace here when Sayad did pressure. It seemed like he did pressure him a little bit with the split of 22-4. But then by the time they got into the far turn, just the horse had nothing left. He just pretty much said, I'm done. But Seek Again, I guess, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon yet and start saying, okay, is this horse going to be a legitimate contender for the Breeders' Cup Mile or at least something of that nature. But as we are talking Saratoga here, we have to start looking at some of these horses are going to start showing up for some of these Breeders' Cup races with Seek Again. I know he won at a mile and a quarter in the Hollywood Derby last year. But, this year alone, he looks like he does, at least he seems to be more suited for shorter races. Do you agree?
No, I definitely agree with that statement, and I also think we'll see him one more time before the Breeders' Cup, wherever that may be. I know Bill Mott, the trainer, has a couple of races in mind, so we could see Seek Again once more before the Breeders' Cup, but Seek Again was able to win this race, I was starting to immediately think about that Breeders' Cup mile with horses like Seek Again, Wise Dan if he's healthy to come back, and then obviously who won the Shoemaker Mile out at Santa Anita. So if those three all show up in the Breeders' Cup mile, that could be some race.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have good American representation there as well as definitely someone from the other side of the, you know, at least of the pond, as they will say, in Europe. But yeah, if right now it looks like, you know, it does look like we have some good representation with at least those three horses, as we mentioned. For Sunday, we had basically the two-year-old races, the first being the Adirondack, and congratulations, you picked Cavorting right on top, and she has proven to be the real deal, at least at this point right now.
Yeah, that was huge for me. I had Cavorting. I had a win bet on Cavorting and a single turn, a double as well. So that was huge for me in there because I didn't want Angelo Renee, who I know was a nice horse, but it was going. But she was going to be overbet because of the Johnny D. Todd Fletcher angle. And then Wonder Gal is a nice horse too, which we'll talk more about her trip in a minute. But I thought Cavorting at 7-2 offered the best value in there. And Steve, you nailed it right on the head when we previewed the race on Friday. I thought Cavorting actually would have showed a little bit more speed, but instead Vivian DeBling, right to the outside of Cavorting, goes to the lead. Elad Ortiz sits off the pace. They're going pretty decent, too, 22-3 in the opening quarter mile, and Cavorting is able to come up on the outside and get by Angela Renee in the final 16th of a mile to win the race. And that was huge out of Cavorting, and my guess is we'll probably see her down at one of the premier two-year-old races in the Belmont for me.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things I was really impressed with Cavorting that she was, you know, at least where Arad was able to take her off the pace, stalk the pace, and then just be able to make that move going, you know, at least coming to the stretch and just being able to draw off, you know, by nearly two lengths. Definitely looks like she does have some talent here and definitely a promising future. Wonder Gal, you know, at first, at least coming into the race, I was really skeptical of her performance in her debut, and I know a lot of people were talking about, you know, that she was last and then being able to just come off the pace and win by, you know, over 14 lengths. I saw a couple of horses coming out of that race and at least followed up on him, and didn't look like they raced well coming out of here, and I was, as I said, skeptical around that, but then the way she ran the other day was, you know, I thought was impressive with the, you know, with the concern of the trip, though. What did you think?
Well, let's remember, too, that these are all lightly raced two-year-olds. I mean, I think the majority of these horses in the Adirondack are coming in off of their debut win. So a lot of them, while they are promising two-year-olds, that they're lightly raced. They don't have much experience. And I think breaking from the rail is always a bit of a concern, even if it's a maiden special weight, a maiden claiming, or even a stakes race for two-year-olds, because of how little experience they have. I thought Taylor Rice, my personal opinion with this ride was the rail was the place to be on Sunday. And I think Taylor Rice, if she puts Wonder Gal a bit more in the game early, that gives her a better position around the far turn and into the stretch, and it doesn't allow a horse like Vivian DeBling, who set the pace, to sort of take away her running room in the stretch. Now, Wonder Gal, I think, will be overbet in her next race because people will look at the trip she had and say, oh, okay, she was on the rail, she got cut off in there. Having said that, she was one of the top horses in this race. She's a talented horse, and I think we could have seen a bit better from her. And I'm saying this even though I bet against her because I was all about Cavorting in the Adirondack. But I think Taylor Rice could have been slightly more aggressive, putting her in the game a bit early, getting that position down on the rail, because again, on Sunday we did see a couple horses from the inside win on the rail, including I Spent It, which we'll get to in a minute. But I think this horse just could have had a better trip, and it is a horse you probably want to bet next time out, but I think handicappers will go back and look at this race and see the trip, and I think she'll be over bet as a result of what happened in the Adirondack.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned about her next race, and I happen to see yet on Monday that the nomination sheets have come out for basically Travers, which includes the Travers itself. But I know Wonder Gal was nominated for the Seeking the Annie, the two-year-old race for New York Breds that is basically part of that showcase day, at least the day after the Travers. So I don't know if she's going to come back there or if they're going to just kind of save her for the Belmont Fall meet from there. But definitely. Watch where she's placed next time. Obviously, she's with State Bred. She's going to be very dominating. But if she does try to, great stakes company again, you know, she may be a factor. You know, with at least with a better opportunity from there. looking at the, and actually before we even get to that, if you kind of seen the buyer number, that Kevorkian got an 89 while I spent it, which we'll talk about here in a second, earned an 85. But I spent it. Pretty impressive, you know, to say the least. How did you see the race?
Yeah, well, the key race, in terms of handicapping the Saratoga Special, the key race to watch was the Sanford, when you had Nada's Boy and Cinco Charlie set that fast pace, and then Mr. Z and Big Trouble, who were bumping each other, coming from off the pace to run 1-2 in there. Of the newcomers, in terms of newcomers to stakes races, I spent it was the one that I preferred in there from the rail. And it seemed like he had no shots. He was in very tight and still got through. And I read somewhere online that I guess he galloped out extremely well after the race. So that could be scary, and meaning he could want some more ground as well. I thought the second place finisher, Mr. Z, who I wasn't a big fan of in this race, because I thought in the Sanford he was the benefactor of Cinco Charlie and Nada's Boy going too fast too soon in the Sanford. He validated that performance in the Saratoga Special by running a good second, and I was watching this race from about the eighth pole, and I thought Mr. Z was gone. I mean, he had a lot of momentum on the outside, and then I spent it just somehow was able to get up through the rail. Those two horses are the top two finishers. I spent it, and Mr. Z are nice, promising horses. And in a way, it's a bittersweet story for trainer Tony Dutrow, who lost Big Trouble to injury. Big Trouble is going to be out now for the next several months. And then he comes back with I Spent It in the Saratoga Special and still gets the win. So he has some nice two-year-olds in his barn.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned about the bittersweet moment for Tony Dutrow. And basically, with Big Trouble being sidelined now, and you know, he's really devastated about, at least about his horse, you know, being injured. But now he's got another two-year-old here that's, you know, just as promising with I Spent It. You know, you mentioned about the gallop, and one of the things I remember when we were all watching the race in the press box, that the first thing that we, you know, watched right after the wire was the way this horse just galloped out, and he was a monster, very impressive, which is saying this, you know, which may be suggesting that, as you're saying, not only ground, but maybe ability is here as well. Definitely a promising future here with this, you know, with this colt here. Just one horse I wanted to point out here that finished third, WV Jet Setter. This is a horse that was brought to George Weaver's barn about 10 days ago, at least before the race, and had been working with, at least just had one work with Requite, which turned around on Saturday and just ended up running a really impressive debut from there. And with that said, Requite on Saturday was morning line was 8-1, was bet down to 8-5. Now part of the reason was not only the was primarily the workout itself. The last workout that horse had was with, as I said, with WV Jet Setter, a minute workout, and definitely impressive there to say the least. So maybe that George Weaver may have a talented 2-year-old there as well to go with WV Jet Setter. Did you get a chance to take a look at Requite?
Yeah, I did watch the replay, and it's got to be tough to be breaking from the outside post there for WV Jet Setter from the 11th post. Got a good ride, I thought, from Joel Rosario, all things considered, and maybe just needs a little bit more experience to maybe next time try to beat talented horses like I Spent It in Mr. Z. But I feel like so much focus in this race was on the three horses coming on the Sanford, Cinco Charlie, Nana's Boy, and Mr. Z, and then I Spent It was getting some play as well. It seemed like the four or five horses to the outside in this race were almost forgotten in here. And if you play the trifecta, you got some decent places in there for third and fourth. So even though you had a 5-2 and then another low price post, Mr. Z finished second, you did get a couple places in for third and fourth in the superfecta, which is always nice to see. And you know that these horses will take money next out because of how much talent I Spent It and Mr. Z have. For these horses to finish third and fourth, not that far behind them, that's a good thing, and they can always improve off that effort.
Oh, definitely much so. And it looks like right now, based on Tony Dutrow's reaction, or at least his thoughts the other day, and obviously they're going to let the owner decide, but that maybe they're looking at the champagne with I Spent It from there. That was just, you know, just looking at a tweet here from Dave Grenning, and it was just announced that the Steeplechase Racing today is canceled. The only race remaining on the grass is the Troy. So obviously the turf course is taking some beating right now from the rain itself. So we're probably going to have to, as we look at here, today's card, probably not only look at the handicapping for the dirt, or for the turf, but also for the dirt as well. So as I make that transition here, we'll look at today's card. We'll look at the Troy Stakes here. Basically a 5-furlong race on the grass, or excuse me, 5.5-furlong race on the grass with 3-year-olds and up. You know, definitely got a solid field here of sprinters, which would include Spring to the Sky and a couple of others that have shown, you know, basically a liking to this distance on the turf. Who'd you like today?
Well, I think the race centers around Trey and Touchdown, who does have a lot of backlash entering this race. Finished at second at a big price in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint at Santa Anita in the fall, and then has come back to win a race, at 10 on May 31st. And Ted and Touchdown is the logical horse in here, but 7:05 in the morning line. And also, too, we'll see if this horse even stays in the race now with what should be an off going. I actually went to the 6, Spring to the Sky, with Javier Castellano and Bruce Brown. I think this horse, 3 back in the Jaipur, which was on the Belmont undercard, horse was a big price that race, and maybe he was just a little bit in over his head facing better horses. But the horse did not have a great break in that race, stumbled at the start, and then I think you lose all chance, especially in these turf sprints when you don't get out of the gate cleanly. And then has come back to win 2 straight races, both with Javier Castellano aboard. Did win the Lucky Coin on the first Sunday of the meet. So this horse seems to have a good thing going with Javier Castellano since they made the jockey change to him. 2 wins in his last 2 starts, and also 2 of our handicapping for a wet track. He Spring to the Sky has 3 starts on a wet track with 1 win and 1 second place finish. So this horse seems to be able to handle turf or a wet track. So I landed on a 6 Spring to the Sky. Not much value, 5-2 in the morning line, and also we'll have to see how scratches affect this race, and if it does come off the turf, if Dad Caps, who is a main track, only gets in the race. But Spring to the Sky is the pick for me, turf or dirt.
Okay, I'm going to take if this race does stay on the grass, I'm going to take a shot here with Chad Brown training, Joe Rosario ridden Golden Rifle. Since Chad Brown claimed the horse back at Gulfstream Park, at least in March, horses put 3 straight wins together. And one of the things I do like about this horse coming into this race is just the constant progression, at least moving forward, from a 40 claimer for 2 winners and winners of 2 lifetime races, wins by a neck, comes back in an allowance race, ends up drawing off to nearly 5 lengths, then comes into a higher conditional allowance race, ends up drawing off by 3 lengths. I kind of like to see that progression, you know, with horses, you know, especially if, coming off the claim. You got some works, you know, consistent 4 furlong work since at least since the break from June to today's race. So if I'm looking for value here, I would take a shot with Golden Rifle, but definitely the horses to beat are Spring to the Sky, which I have here a second after winning the Lucky Coin, and I would probably say that he may be a horse for the course here. And and if he is coming up wet, I do also consider him as well. And for third, and this is only for at least for the turf right now, is I'm going to take a long shot here with Unseen. When I'm looking at this horse here, again, looking at progression, coming in from Pimlico, unbeaten since at least 3 straight wins. It hasn't raced in a while, but has that, you know, strong workout here at Laurel back in August, or I'd say a couple weeks ago, I should say. And, you want to take a shot with this, especially if some horses do get scratched out. You know, I'll throw them in there. If Titan Touchdown's, I don't think Titan Touchdown's going to stay in the race if it is going to come up wet. But just one of those things to throw out there. But if for a wet track, I'm going to throw Dad's Caps on top, probably over Spring to the Sky as well. Do you have a value play today, Billy?
I did have a value play today, and I'm hoping the horse stays in the race, because my feeling is that whenever you have a rainy day like today, there's usually a grocery list of scratches, so we'll see if the horse stays in, but it's all the way to the finale today, race 10, and that is number 8, Stalagmite, who comes in off a maiden claiming win. The horse has run 2 straight races in the maiden claiming ranks, and finally was able to get a win after going wire-to-wire downstate at Belmont in a 6-furlong sprint. The horse does have 1 race over a wet track, and that was actually at Saratoga last summer, where Stalagmite finished 3rd in the race. So does have a race over a wet track, which I think is good, because we could see a wet track, especially later in the day today, with a post-time scheduled for around claim 2,500 to do lifetime in the finale, and there are some horses that are dropping down to this $25,000 claimer that might be more appealing. But Stalagmite, I think, is on the improve. Did get a 75 buyer last out in the maiden claiming win. I think this is a bit of a tougher field than the maiden claimers he faced downstairs at Belmont. But he's a horse on the improve, and Luis Diaz is the only jockey to ever ride this horse, so he knows this horse very well. And I think Luis Diaz will probably want to get this horse to the lead immediately. And looking at the race, there's not all that much speed on paper, so I'm hoping Stalagmite can steal this one on the front end at 10-1 in the morning line in the finale.
That's a solid pick there, as I'm looking at him a little more closely. So yeah, definitely, barring any scratches that may reduce the value, 10-1, if you can get even 8-1 or 6-1 with some of the scratches out there, still maybe a fair price. I'm going to jump over to race three today. Actually, I have a couple of picks here to look at today that may have some value. For the third race, I'm going to go with Ready Gets Gold for Jeremiah Englehart. And right now, as I was looking at the rider, if it is true that Errato Ortiz is riding, that makes the pick a little bit stronger, or at least my confidence in him being a little bit stronger. 6-1 in the morning line, and a couple of things to look at here. First, Jeremiah Englehart, over the last 10 days, has had 14 starters, 3 of them won, and 5 of them finished second. And when you look at the Saratoga meet itself, with the two wins that he's had, one of the things I don't think anyone has noticed so far, that Neil Allred has won both the races with Jeremiah Englehart. The first one being Winter Games at 14-1, Shank Eponymous at 9-1. It's when I'm looking at a horse like this, it's like, okay, 6-1. It may be one of those scenarios where if you kind of look at Winter Games and Shank Eponymous, it may be just maybe a value play here. At least where he's not over bet. With Finger Lakes itself, or at least coming off the claim off of Finger Lakes, first time claim 21% for Jeremiah Englehart, has a good four furlong workout at Finger Lakes. And then the other thing to point out here too, over the last 10 days, and when we start looking at the jockeys here, Errato Ortiz and Javier Castellanos seem to be really outriding everybody else. And I was looking at the 10-day stats, and basically, if Errato Ortiz is riding this horse, he's going to be he's been 14 to 53 horses, or at least 14 winners over 53 mounts, which puts him at 26%, and I believe Javier Castellanos was at 25%. So basically, if you're looking at a 9 or 10 race card, you're going to probably say they're going to win 2 races a day, or at least working the pace around that 2 to 3 races a day. So I would probably I'm going to probably take a shot with him at 6-1. I know he's been over 2 at Saratoga, but I think that with Jeremiah Englehart, that this horse may have a good chance here. The other pick I have here today is actually more of a basically the second division of the Troy Stakes. Is going to the sixth race, which is another grass sprint. Probably is going to come on onto the main track now. But you have horses like Great Tap, Escapist, who came out of the Quick Call, and a few others there, Partly Mocha, as well as for George Weaver, Mr. Vegas, who's highly considered a good horse here as well. But the horse I'm landing on here right now is Hear the Footsteps at 5-1 for Linda Rice and Jose Ortiz. One of the things I do subscribe to is the Daily Racing Form's workout report from Mike Welsh and Mike Vesey. They do a pretty good job of giving at least good ratings on these horses, or good rankings on these horses. They basically give them a letter grade, an A through an F grade, based on their workouts in the morning. But not only do they give them a grade, but they also give some insight here as well. And one of the things I liked about Hear the Footsteps, based off his workouts, for the 7-year-old gelding, had been working with Kid Cruz before the Jim Dandy, and as we followed basically the Travers coming up, that Kid Cruz was third in Jim Dandy. He also also worked with Mark My Way, who won the New York Stallion Stakes here as well. So when I'm seeing a horse like this working with stakes quality horses, it's like I feel a little more confident taking a shot with something, or at least a horse of this caliber here. Again, this may be just for turf only, but if the race still stays on the grass, I'm going to take Hear the Footsteps.
Well, Ski, I actually just went on Naira's website here, and the races 4, 6, and 8 are off the turf today. And then they will make a decision later on this morning about the Troy Stakes, which as of now remains the only turf race still on the card today on the grass. So 4, 6, and 8 are off. They canceled the Steeplechase, and then we will know in a few hours about the Troy Stakes today. So it seems like it's just going to be a wait and see approach and how soon the weather gets to Saratoga Springs. But we've been fortunate enough, I think, up to this point. What are we into day 23 now? And we have been, we've had great weather. I think there's only one day up to this point where they were off the turf and had a sloppy track. And you want to have great weather because that gets more people out to the track. It makes the wagering a bit more competitive because you don't have a lot of scratches. And you hope to see some of the horses stay in the car today. But it always feels like whenever we have some sort of heavy rains in the area, the trainers obviously don't want to send their horses out there and into spots they don't want to run them in. So we do tend to get a bit more scratches than usual. But I just did notice that on an Iowa website announcing that the 4th, 6th, and the 8th today are off the turf.
Well, that's a good information to share with us, Billy. I have not seen the changes yet at all. And usually when I get to the track right away, that's the first thing I look at here. But one of the things to point out about the weather here, and I know not many of us like to see the wet, you know, the rainy days coming here to the track. It does have sometimes the attendance not as big, but sometimes, you know, the rain does benefit, especially for grass racing itself, because the last thing you know anyone would want to see is just a turf course that's been beat up so bad because of lack of rain. And you know, usually, you know, basically if as a homeowner myself, I would like to have my lawn watered, or at least have some rain on it, because otherwise it'll start basically becoming dormant or dry out, and then doesn't look as appealing. But not only that, but also for safety reasons as well, because if you don't have any give in the course itself, it ends up becoming more of a really hard, you know, almost like a highway type of feel to itself. So as I said, I know rainy days are not as great out there, but you know, sometimes there is some benefit to that, and definitely to have a better turf course with, you know, maybe just some rain that day will help out, you know, at least for the longer run here, especially since we still have 3 weeks left in the meet, this week being Alabama Sword Dancer, next week obviously is the marquee of, or the highlight of the meet with the Travers, and then we got Woodward as well. Going to Thursday, Billy, looking at the Saratoga 2, basically it's a filly and mare race for New York State Breds going two turns at a mile and an eighth. Who'd you like in this race? Did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah, I did. I did handicap this race a little bit, and again, with the weather today, we'll see how the track shapes up tomorrow, although I'm assuming the main track tomorrow will be at the very least good, hopefully fast later on in the day. But fourth race tomorrow is the Saratoga Deuce, so that's the middle of the afternoon, probably around 2:30, 2:45-ish, and we'll see what kind of track we get. I landed on Tahoe Tigress for Jeremiah Englehart, Jose Ortiz ride. Did win on this horse, and two back got beat by La Verdad, who was just a tremendous sprinting horse. That was a one-turn, one-mile race at Belmont, two back. So there is a slight concern here with Tahoe Tigress going a mile and an eighth and getting two turns. When this horse ran at Saratoga last year in a mile and an eighth race, Tahoe Tigress finished fifth in the field of seven. So we'll see if this horse can get around two turns, but I like the Jose Ortiz angle here with Jeremiah Englehart. Did get an 86 buyer last out and an optional claimer downstate at Belmont, and I think this is a horse that should come from off the pace in a race where there is some speed on paper. I think a horse like Easy Living is one that's going to want to lead tomorrow in the race. Even Royal Suspicion right to the inside of Easy Living also might want to go too. So I'm hoping Tahoe Tigress can get to two turns and settle back with Jose Ortiz, and then make a move around the far turn and hit the wire first.
Yeah, I actually have Tahoe Tigress pick second here, pretty much for the same reason. Just going back to that Critical Eye race at a mile with La Verdad and Hot Stones, who raced up here recently. What I was looking at, the one I'm really looking at here, it was Little Rocket on the inside, just on the inside of her. Did win up here at Saratoga last year for New York Bred Allowance race. And then prior to that, was well beaten, obviously, in the Prioress, finishing fifth in the field of six. Six lengths, from the first place to the last, to at least to her spot here. But coming into the race, with two wins, two third-place finishes in the second, just got beaten out in Fringe Lakes you know, just a couple weeks ago. Michael Ferrara brings Lopez with him. And as I said, it looks like, you know, if I'm looking for some value here, Little Rocket may be in there as well. You can see just some overbet horses here where either Tahoe Tigress or Little Rocket would provide a little more value here. But I do agree with you about Easy Living. Probably may need the lead here. But my only thing here is that you know, hopefully that Get Gorgeous and Royal Suspicion will go up with her. Otherwise, if Easy Living just gets out there and sets, maybe a 24, 48, half, you know, maybe 112 for three quarters, it's maybe very difficult to run her down, especially with Joel Rosario on her.
Right, and also, too, we should point out the Mitch Friedman entry of Carry Me Away and Dreaming of Kara. Sure, that's going to be a headache for Tom Durkin to separate those two as they run this race. But I feel like sometimes these entries can get a bit overbet because people are saying, oh, okay, I'm betting basically two horses for the price of one. If I had to pick one of the horses out of that entry, I think Dreaming of Kara, I prefer Dreaming of Kara, who is switching turf to dirt, but does have some decent races in the past performances. Is a horse that also, too, has some experience at this distance of a mile and an eighth, even though Dreaming of Kara, she hasn't won at this distance of a mile and an eighth. The fact that she has run a few races at this distance is something to look at as well. But I will take a shot against the coupled entry with Tahoe Tigress in tomorrow's Saratoga Dew.
Okay. Looking ahead to this weekend, Billy, obviously we got some homework ahead of us here. With Stop Charge Maria probably now looking likely going to the Alabama, or at least being entered into the race. We also have Size and those. Just looking at Dave Green's note this morning, at least tweet in regards to her workout this morning as well, or I'd say yesterday, I should say, basically the 1 mile over the main track for the Iowa Oaks winner. Looks like she's getting, you know, ready for the Alabama as well. So we're going to definitely have a lot to talk about for that race on Friday. And also, too, yeah, we got the Lake Placid to explore. And then Sunday, we got another strong grade one race with the Sword Dancer, a mile and a half race over the turf course. Pretty much sets up, you know, for those going, you know, for at least the Breeders' Cup turf race. And then we start looking ahead to the Travers Week, which, you know, the other day I was starting to put the past performances together and realizes that from Wednesday right up through the following Monday after the Travers, there's I believe 16 stake races, whether they be overnight or graded stake races. And that, you know, obviously includes the four stake races on Travers Day, as well as the New York Bred Showcase Day on Sunday as well. So definitely a lot to look forward to here.
Oh, absolutely. And the beginning of this meet has been just phenomenal. And like these next few Saturdays lined up are just huge. You know, you have Alabama, Travers and Woodward, and then even the New York Bred Day, with all the New York Breds running the day after the Travers. This is a new event coming to Saratoga. And I think it's something that I think it's going to be a great weekend because you have the Midsummer Derby Saturday, and then the very next day, there always seems to be a bit of a lull after the Travers or after a big racing day. But this New York Bred Showcase Day, the day after the Travers, is a must-watch event.
Oh, definitely. It's not only that, but I mean, I do agree with you. Usually the day after the Travers, it's really quiet. Usually you had, at least in my experience in the past, it was the Ballerina was the next day's card. But now not only get the showcase day for state breds, but also, too, you got the momentum going right into the following weekend with the Woodward, the Forgo, the Spinaway, and the Hopeful, the Glens Falls. If you're trying to get up to the track at this time of the year, you know, this is the best time to do it right now.
Yeah, and it's funny. We were talking. I saw a couple friends the other day, and basically just saying how it's almost unbelievable how quickly summer has come and gone. I mean, now we're in the middle of August, and and the racing season defines the summer, because once you start to hit closing day and talk, you know, well, first of all, Travers Day, and then after Travers Day, there's only a week left of racing, and it's like summer is here. We anticipate opening day so much, and then, you know, you get opening day, and then the meet just really just goes along from there, and all of a sudden it's almost Labor Day. But there's 3 weeks left. I refer to this as the meat and potatoes of the meat. These are the biggest races coming up at Saratoga. Everyone over the country, everyone over the world knows about these big-time races coming up at Saratoga. And if you haven't had luck yet in terms of your handicapping, the good news is you still have 3 weeks left to get it back.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And also, too, going back to just paying attention, at least sometimes to the fundamentals of it and just find out who's hot and who's not. You know, as I said earlier, you know, you got Javier Castellano and Iride Ortiz seem to be really riding the top of their game right now. But also, too, don't forget some of the other, the other top jockeys, which include Joel Rosario, Jose Ortiz, and Johnny Velasquez as well. You know, as for the trainers, it's obviously that, you know, Todd's got a, you know, pretty much, Todd Pletcher's got pretty much of a insurmountable lead here over Chad Brown. But I would probably start paying attention to the higher percentage trainers as well, some like a George Weaver, Tony Dutrow as well. But the other thing, too, again, the other thing that, you know, not many people pay attention to is the owner's race. And, the owner's really, it's not, you know, not necessarily, you know, winning, you know, at least for owners or winning the prize money. It's more so having the recognition in the winner's circle as well as the title of the leading owner of the meet. And right now you got Mike Rapoli and Ken Ramsey up at the top, but you got Marion Chester Bauman as well in the mix as well. So, definitely, don't forget the fundamentals. Kind of look at post positions, in track, bias as well, and as you said, the other day, the rail was really, was really playing in favor of a lot of winners, and with, as I said, with Taylor Rice and Wonder Gal, they tried to make that move and just, couldn't get through at that point. But it's just paying attention to those little things sometimes really could help you out in a bit, in the big run here.
Oh, definitely, and you mentioned the top two owners, Ken Ramsey and Mike Rapoli. Mike Rapoli, for those who don't know, a big New York guy. He drinks, sleeps the horse racing in New York. He's always downstate at Belmont, and he comes up to Saratoga and lives it up here too. And then Ken and Sarah Ramsey, who any horse, if there's a horse with cat or kitten in the name, it's probably a horse that that they own, and they just do such a terrific job. And last year they set a new record. I don't think they're going to top that this year, but it does seem like it's going to come down between Mike Rapoli and Ken Ramsey. Two of the great people in this game.
Yeah, ironically, their last names begin with the letter R, and does represent the Silks on at least anybody who rides their horses. So with Ramsey, it's basically the white Silks with the R, the letter or the red R on the back. And for Mike Rapoli, being a big Mets fan, he has the Mets colors on his Silks, basically that blue with the that orange at least the R with a circle around it. So you can't you really can't miss those two Silks any time of the in the race itself.
No, not at all. And they will, I have a feeling, 3 weeks left, we will see plenty of those Silks in the winner's circle over these next few weeks at Saratoga Stilski.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to wrap it up here today. Billy, it was nice having you on here. Be prepared to work on Friday. I believe you're going to be calling in, right?
Yeah, Friday I will call in and hopefully put together some winners for Alabama weekend.
Absolutely. Good luck at the races, Billy. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ski. Talk to you, Rick.
All right.
Okay, Billy. Bye-bye. You know, Ski, just before we before you sign off, I just wanted to mention that you had talked about the turf and, the condition that it was getting into. And out west, we've had a lot of race courses do take the races off the turf because of the lack of rain out there. And I think this today, even though it may be a washout as far as the turf races go, I think it'll set it up for the next 3 weeks. I think it'll get that turf in good condition away from the cement-like pounding that the horses take and really get condition that turf up for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. And one of the things that people want to keep in mind is that just like any other athletic event, whether it be a football field, baseball field, track and field itself, when you look at the air temperature, like we can go back to, I believe it was Monday, where it was maybe in the mid-80s, but you got to add maybe at least 10 degrees more onto the surface, or at least 10 degrees more on that track itself. Because the sun just radiates right on that track, and then not only do you have the sun that's radiating on the track, but also too you got the heat also coming up from the ground as well. So it's definitely you add that heat and on, you know, that just pretty much will dry out the surface, or at least dry out the ground itself. And that's why they water the truck, you know, at least when you watch the trucks go around the track, and they water the track a lot, is because they can, you know, that track just dries out so quickly. Where, you know, it's in 20 minutes, where if they get done running a race, they got to bring the water trucks back on to just keep the moisture there, because otherwise it'll just turn into powder. And then the same thing would apply to the turf course itself, that if you don't water it, it'll just become dry and dormant, and even, I would say, hazardous for some of these animals.
Oh, most definitely. And you can tell by looking at the infield that the grass is starting to go dormant. So a day like today isn't a negative for horse racing. It's a positive. And you talk about the heat. I know where I stand. I'm undercover. You know, even if it gets hot, you're warm. But I go down in that winter circle once in a while to talk to the guard down there. And I don't know how you do it out there. It's hot. So I can imagine those horses out in that heat, and the condition of the track, like you said, with the evaporation and the extra temperatures out there. So, you know, we've got three, as Billy said, the meat and potatoes of racing is coming up now. And I can tell the buzz of the track. People are coming in from out of state. A lot of them haven't been to Saratoga before and always wanted to get here, and they're happy with the racing and with the facility and the historic value that Saratoga offers, and the electricity's in the air for what's coming up in the next 3 weeks. So you and Billy have a lot of work to do in your handicapping.
Yeah, and just when I thought I was just done teaching a summer class, I realized I have more homework ahead of me here over the next 2 weeks.
That's right.
You know, not only getting ready to prepare for the fall semester, but more so preparing for, you know, the biggest, I would say it is the biggest part of the meet at this stage. And obviously, the other races have been a big part of Saratoga itself. But, when you start looking at the Alabama and the Sword Dancer, and then, you know, the final week at the Travers, and then and then you got this New York, or now they call it Saratoga Showcase, but and then the Woodward, and then the Forego. Basically, all these races are pretty much now setting these horses up for the fall campaign, which leads into basically Thoroughbred Racing's World Series or Super Bowl, which is the Breeders' Cup itself.
Sure. Well, listen, I want to thank you, Tony. You've been listening with Racing with Ski, and we'll be back on Friday with some more expert handicapping and good vibes from Saratoga Racecourse. So until then, we'll hope you tune in on Friday morning. Have a great couple days.